Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Jen and I'm your host, and I'm having to whisper today. Michael, could you confirm that you can hear me even though I'm whispering?
Yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, thank you. So the reason I'm having to whisper is that Awareness Junkie Man is in the next room. Awareness Junkie Man, I'm sure you remember, is everyone's favorite practice reminder hero. He's agreed to be with us on the show again today, and he's coming into the Good News Studios in just a moment. He thinks he's here to talk to us about the details of the 10th Annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk, which is true, and I hear rumor that he has the scoop on a very exciting plan that is afoot around the bridge walk this year, but there have been no details divulged. It's all very hush-hush, including the launch date, which apparently is not for another couple weeks. It's even the launch date is being kept top secret. So I am going to see if we can get some details out of Awareness Junkie. Oh. Awareness Junkie Man, oh, welcome. Thank you for being with us today.
Why, hello, Jen. Thank you very much for inviting me.
It's a pleasure, as always, to have you on the show. So Awareness Junkie Man, the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk. It's very exciting.
Wow, isn't it? I mean, 10 years. Can you believe it?
I really can't. It has flown by.
I know. It's been really an exciting time, too. So much has been going on in Cantalumba, so much to be excited about.
It's really true, but we'll have to leave that for another show, I think. Unfortunately, we have a lot to talk about.
That's right. That's right.
So, Awareness Junkie Man, I wonder if you could tell us kind of the details of the event this year.
Well, I can give you the bare details, you know, the how, what, where, why, and when.
Great.
But more than that, I cannot. So the simple things that I know about, that I can tell you about, are that it's the 10th Annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk, and it's our 10th year, like we just talked about. And we are going to have African drumming, African dancing.
Excellent. In fact, I hear that perhaps Jackie Asombe, who was with us the year Teresa was with us, I think that was 2008, and a couple of other years prior to that came down. She is an unbelievable dancer from Cameroon, lives in Canada, and rumor has it that we're pretty close to confirming her to being with us for the event. That is not to be missed.
No, not at all. And it's a very big participatory, wonderful, exciting event. There's T-shirt painting. We paint lots of little shirts for the kids in Cantalumba, and that usually happens when folks are going across the Golden Gate Bridge. And there's also another opportunity to take a little family kind of walk where you don't have to go across the Golden Gate Bridge. So if you have a stroller or something like that, you can take a little tiny walk around the place.
I see. So the tradition is we gather for lunch, and then we walk up and we go across the bridge. We often take a group photo. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, there's a very famous group photo that was taken with you last year.
Yes, I love that picture.
We'll see if we can get that out for folks to remember last year. But what you're saying is that for people who have infants or strollers or that sort of thing, if it's too hard to go on the big walk, that there's a family walk just around Crissy Field.
That is correct. And then there's raffles, and there's delicious food. There's stuff to purchase oftentimes.
And all of this happens on October 1st?
October 1st, noon, Crissy Field, San Francisco. Be there.
Excellent. And so what if I did want to be there? How would I sign up?
Oh, very easy. At a click of a button, you can sign up. You just go to the Living Compassion website, which is www.livingcompassion.org. And on that page, you'll find a link to the Africa Vulnerable Children Project and the Golden Gate Bridge Walk. And just go there. Lots of info, lots of pics.
So one of the things I hear rumor about is that we're being encouraged this year not to assume that we can't attend. Could you tell us more about that?
Well, the basic principle behind that is not to assume anything, and so it's very important in practice not to assume. But so, yes, it is confirmed that not to assume. Just because you think you cannot go there does not mean that you cannot. So you could be on the other side of the planet, and still there is a possibility that you could end up at this bridge walk.
So be open to miracles is what I'm hearing.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. So Awareness Junkie Man, what I've been hearing kind of around the edges here and there is that the 10th annual walk. We're really excited. As you say, many, many years of very successful work in Cantalumba. This is a huge celebration to celebrate all of that. And that in honor of that, I hear rumor that what's going to go on around the walk is not just going to be about the walk this year, that there's going to be a little more involved. And I wonder if you could just, you know, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, unfortunately, I cannot tell you any more than what you've just said, that there's a little bit more to it than just a bridge walk, but that is about all I can say.
So, Awareness Junkie Man, I mean, I'm not asking you to tell us the whole deal, but maybe just, you know, just a little bit, just to take the edge off the suspense, maybe, you know, just get us ready so that we can be thinking about it in the next couple weeks before the launch. I mean, you know, we brought you a long way to be here in the studios with us today. Just, you know, just the little details.
My deepest apologies, Jen. I must show you my finger, which has a twist tie on it that says bridge walk. Hush, hush, secret, secret. I cannot break my commitment. My commitment is not to spill the beans on this wonderful event.
I see. Okay. Well, I wouldn't ask anyone to break their commitment, their practice commitment. That wouldn't be good, would it? So, but is there anything else you can tell us about the event?
Well, there is one thing I can tell you. Actually, it's more of a word of advice. If I were you, I would listen to the whole radio show today. I cannot tell you any more than that. You will just have to trust me on this one.
Okay, so let me see if I'm following. You're suggesting that we need to listen to the entire show today?
The entire show, Jen.
And what does that have to do with the bridge walk?
Only listening will tell.
Okay, so what else? Anything else you can tell us about the actual event that would be good for us to know?
Well, there is one more tiny detail, and that is the night before, we are planning to have a special little gathering in the city. So, a little dinner, Karen Drucker. Those of you know who Karen Drucker is, she can raise a storm in a group of folks just by playing her music and singing her songs. Very inspirational practice-type songs. And so because we didn't want to just have folks who are coming long distance fly out just so we could see your smiling faces for an afternoon, such a crime, we thought we would have you there for a night as well.
So, yeah, I remember Karen Drucker came and did a concert. She's done several concerts with us, actually. She came and did a concert for us at our annual celebration. She came and did actually two events with us in Palo Alto. She's an amazing singer. People should look her up, www.karendrucker.com, I believe. And her songs are right in line with practice. Really, really, as you say, fun, inspirational, exciting to listen to. And she's agreed to be with us on that night, it sounds like. And so people can come, have dinner, sing with Karen, a whole song of good time.
Yeah, we'd love to have as many people as possible attend that.
Really fun. So I'm imagining that I hear the details are not out yet. I understand. I don't want to wreck the launch. I won't push you anymore on that. But what I hear you saying is that if people are going to come out, if they're going to carve out that weekend to be with Sangha, to make sure they plan in time, to get here in time, to have that evening with us beforehand.
Yes, that would be great. It would be great to have a lot of time.
Kind of like a Sangha family gathering.
It's exactly like that. We'd love to have everybody get together for a good old time.
Well, I'm excited. I'm going to go on the website today and sign up. And I'm really, really excited to hear whatever this is that you have planned for the larger event, because I know one of the things that the Bridge Walk is our annual event to support the work in Cantalumba, and it isn't just people who come to the Bridge Walk who follow the work in Cantalumba. It's really the entire Sangha. And so I'm excited that you've come up with something, some way, that everyone in the Sangha will be able to participate, whether they can actually come to the walk or not. And I share your sentiments that I hope everyone out there, you know, anyone who feels moved to come but is hearing a voice that says, well, but I live far away, it's not going to happen, you know, be open to the miracles. See what might happen, because it's going to be a great time, going to be really fun. And so who knows what life might help you rearrange so that you actually can be here for, sounds like, not just the walk, but also the evening before. Just kind of say, okay, I'm, you know, it'd be like Your niece is getting married. Okay, well, you're going to get to the wedding somehow, right?
Right.
So it's a family reunion with Sangha. I'm going to get there. How am I going to do that? And you can start planning now.
That is such a great tip, because if we keep that kind of focus in our sights as we do this, then all these ideas will start cropping up. That's exactly how they just come up. They just rise up out of that looking for what will work and what's possible.
Interesting, which I imagine is how this larger campaign event that you're alluding to that's going to be launched is dreamed up.
Exactly. That's where they come from.
Well, Awareness Junkie Man, deepest gratitude for being here with us in the studios again today. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks very much, Jen. And remember, listen to the whole show.
Listen to the whole show. Got it. Thank you. All right, Michael, over to you.
Great. Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Awareness Junkie Man. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael.
How are you?
Good. That sounds like a kind of a fun thing they've got dreamed up there.
Yes, and full of mystery.
Full of mystery. I get the feeling they know what's going on. Do you get that feeling? It's not like they're just making it up as we go along.
Yeah, or Awareness Junkie Man knows.
Yeah. Playing it close to the chest.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. We'll just have to stay tuned, I guess.
We will. I'm going to listen to the whole show today.
I am too. I'm going to try to pay very good attention to the whole thing.
Great.
All right.
Sherry, I have some announcements here.
Good.
You will be in Esalen this weekend.
And isn't it amazing? It's months and months out in the future, and we just keep talking about it, and then all of a sudden it's just a few days away.
Yes. You'll be co-leading a workshop with Mark Lesser at Esalen. That's in Big Sur. And the topic is spirituality in business.
Yes. I just spoke with them today, and they said the weather is absolutely breathtaking.
Oh, wow.
Right there on the edge of the Pacific Ocean, you know.
Yes.
Sound to be pretty.
Yes, it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then June 18th to 25th, There Is Nothing Wrong With You, a retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center.
Yes. There's one going on right now, as a matter of fact.
Right.
And I think they're all smiling now. They're listening to us, you know, because the weather is nice. People, when they're on retreat at the monastery and we're doing the show, they gather together on the west porch and listen to the show together. So we can say greetings to the folks at TINW at the monastery right now. Anybody, well, we can't actually hear from them. I guess they could all do a round of, yes, we're having a good time so far, assuming that's the case. But anyway, and then 18th through 25th, if somebody's inspired, wants to find out what it's like to live in a world where there's nothing wrong, sign up.
Great. Great. And if you want to discover that what you practice is what you have, you should come July 6th through 13th for retreat at the Zen Monastery Peace Center. And that's for graduates of the It's Time to Feel Good email class.
Yes. I think it's currently full, but it's worth a look if somebody is willing to get on a waiting list.
Great. And then you'll be at Namaste in Felton, California, at the end of July, the 29th and 30th. What do power, success, and fun have in common?
Mm-hmm.
And this is a fundraiser for the Africa Vulnerable Children Project.
It is.
And then August 12th through 14th, that's a weekend workshop at Esalen in Big Sur. What do these questions have in common?
A lot of mysteries going around.
A lot of mysteries.
You know, people often don't think of Zen as well, maybe they do, actually. Yeah, I guess people probably do. Like, what in the heck is Zen? Things like that. That'd be a good question for a workshop.
What is Zen?
Yeah.
Great. And circling back to our good news, it's time to make plans to join you and the monks at the 10th Annual Bridge Walk on Saturday, October 1st.
Mm-hmm. Order your pantalombas and don a spectacular outfit and join us.
Great. Now, I'm not sure everybody heard the word that you said there. Pantalombas.
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 Meditation pants made in Cantalomba.
Really?
Beautiful chitenge. We actually we're launching, I don't know if this is part of the secret, I don't think it is, but Jen is on her way back to Zambia, and we're going to get the gals there to make a whole great line of clothing. So Cantalombas, meditation pants, skirts, all kinds of dress-up suits.
Great. Great. And I'd like to remind our callers to focus on one topic, please, in about 5 minutes. Okay, you ready, Sherry?
I'm ready.
First caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Patty from Los Angeles.
Patty, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. What have you been up to?
Well, I am getting ready to go on the month-long deepening practice retreat next month.
You certainly
are.
And
yeah.
it's getting right on up there, isn't it?
Yes.
Like 3 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching conditioning, you know, work on me about that.
Ooh,
and, you know, trying to use the content of this upcoming retreat to just, you know, basically distract me and make me miserable. And
standard stuff.
Right. And I even started keeping a sort of a daily log of, you know, specifically for that to just kind of, you know, check in each day to see what conditioning is up to, and
good for you.
Well, yeah, I just felt like, yeah, it started to become this thing where it was just so much in the background that I just needed to bring it, you know, to the foreground, and you know, I felt like I needed to go on the offensive, and look out for it.
Yeah. So people are there whispering in the background. And after a certain point, you just have to turn around and say, what? What? What are you saying? What's going on?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so what I'm seeing is that, you know, with past retreats, you know, it was able to kind of make me worry about, you know, what's going to happen on the retreat and what if I don't like it and, you know, how am I going to get through it and that kind of thing. But it's not able to do that with me anymore because I'm just past that point, you know.
You've been on retreat. You know what to do. You know what it's going to be like. You have a pretty good sense of what you're going to face, and now it's fun.
Right, exactly. And any little worries that come up, like I pretty much know that it's, you know, that in the end it's going to be great no matter what. And so conditioning's not able to trap me with that one so much anymore. So what it's focusing on is sort of like more kind of external things, like things that are going to be things that I need to take care of before I leave, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And one of those things is that I haven't told my parents yet that I'm going away, that I'm going to be away for this entire month. And you know, it's actually been months that I've been kind of thinking about this, like in the background. Every so often, it will just come up with this, like, kind of a low-level dread about it.
Yeah.
Because they know that I'm involved in this practice, and they know that I've gone on other retreats, but this is going to be the longest one that I'll be going on. And there's part of me that's afraid that that my parents are going to think that I'm joining a cult.
Yes. Yes. I wouldn't be surprised.
And, you know, they've had similar reactions to other people that they know. Like a friend of theirs had a daughter who became a born-again Christian.
Uh-huh.
And she went to, she moved to Jordan to be a missionary. And they've been acting like, you know, basically she's fallen off the face of the planet. You know, she doesn't exist anymore.
Mm. And that's Christianity. Imagine their fears of a born again Buddhist.
Right.
What on earth would that look like?
Yeah. So anyway, I'm kind of a little bit disidentified at the moment from it, but there are times where I'm really worried about it. You know, like how am I going to tell them? And it just never seems to be a good time to bring it up. And
I think you'd better find one. Don't you?
Yeah.
It's 3 weeks out at this point, it might be a good time to come up with one. Do you ever have conversations with them along the lines of what goes on with you about encountering certain reactions from them?
Yes, not specifically about this, about spirituality.
But general. There's something that I want to talk to you about. I'm really nervous about how you're going to react and, you know, that kind of thing, so that it's within a context, a process.
Hmm. I never thought of broaching it that way, to just come right out and say, I'm nervous about telling you about this.
Yeah.
That's a great idea.
Because then, there are two things happening, right? There's the content of it that people are definitely going to be focused on, but there's also a larger process. So how do we communicate with loved ones in a way supports the relationship rather than creating distance? Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'm a parent, so, you know, parents, by and large, I think, at least the ones I know, don't want to alienate their children. They don't want to, have a distance from them and that sort of thing, but often don't realize that it's the way they handle information about their children's lives that results in that kind of separation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it goes on from the time you're a teenager, right? You're
mm-hmm.
ready to start dating, and boy, are they not ready for that. So, you know, it's like, okay, so then my choices are to lie to you or what? Go through this every time? Or could we get to a place of being able to, you know, work on our communication process such that we have a way of doing this, no matter what the content is, we have a way of communicating.
Mhm. Mhm. Mhm.
You know, I think about communication stuff. For instance, you know, everybody, you get a timer, you get a little one of those hourglass jobby, you know, and you have one time for them to, you know, you turn it. And then you have that length of time to tell them what's going on with you, what the issue is. You know, you turn it again, mom gets a chance to talk. Turn it again, dad gets a chance to talk. Then turn it again, you get it. You know, so there's some rules to the game. It can help people stay a little bit calm down. That, mm-hmm. I'm not suggesting that in particular, but that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think looking at it in the context of the larger context of my relationship with them, rather than it's just about this one particular retreat,
yeah.
And how do I get through this, you know,
yes.
It's very helpful. Because
yeah.
I think what typically happens is, you know, I put it off because I'm worried about some sort of negative reaction. And usually the negative reaction isn't even as nearly as bad as, you know, conditioning says it's going to be. So the putting it off then in itself becomes a problem, because then it's like, well, why didn't you tell me this sooner?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. Which, of course, we can guess is exactly what conditioning has in mind.
Yeah.
Because it creates a very difficult situation before the situation is even addressed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
So that's...
Okay, great. Yeah, I mean, it's funny how... That all of the solutions that the possible solutions that were coming to me, like out of all of them, none of them were just that. Let's be direct about this.
Yeah.
It always, you know, all the solutions involved, you know, avoiding and deception and.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
This opens up a whole new possibility for y'all.
It does.
Yeah, yeah. Good. And,
all right,
and
well,
for everything
you.
Else in your life, right? Because it would try to pull that scam on you in a lot of places.
Mm.
You know, it would mm-hmm. it would try to set a if you go for it, it'll try to set a whole lot of things up that way. Okay, what are my options? Shall I lie? Shall I just deflect? Shall I ignore it and pretend that it didn't happen? Shall I, you know, and very rare, well, never, let's face it, is conditioning going to come up with, well, why don't you just be open-heartedly, consciously, compassionately, loving and communicative? That's not going to be one of the suggested options.
Yeah, yeah.
All right,
okay.
Well, let us know.
Well,
Lots of nice group discussions to process this once you get here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Sherry.
Thanks.
Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from our sponsors, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Watchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Brooks for Culligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net. Once you bathed in an ocean of roses,
welcome back to Open Air. Sherry, we have another caller.
Perfect.
Next caller. You are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry and Michael, it's Rebecca.
Hi. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi. Gosh,
what's
I can't believe
on?
It. Oh, just a whole lot of good things are going on. Let's see, what? It occurred to me, oh, my goodness, I haven't called in a while. And so I was just sitting here enjoying listening to the previous conversation and looking to see what would come up. And lo and behold, something did come up to talk about.
Good.
Yeah.
What
so,
is it?
I'm having some letting go happening with around having a teenager. And this is my third time around with a teenager, and
you think we'll get used to it, huh?
Gosh, I know. There's a part of me that is just like, I am so glad I don't have any more teenagers. Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
But I have such good, he's such a good kid. I got to say that, so I know it could be so much worse and all that, but there's just this tight knot in right above my belly button, right there under in the solar plexus that is just hurting, at the thought of not knowing where he is. I finally got tired of texting him all the time. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? So we had a little exchange last night, and I'm realizing that's what it's about right there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's that awful difference in stages of development. He is, without ever thinking about it, pretty sure that he is invincible.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot abide the thought of anything happening to him.
Yep.
So it's about as far on opposite ends of life experience as people can get, and then those people are in the closest of all possible relationships. It's really a miserable
wow, yeah.
design.
When you put it that way, it really is a recipe for suffering.
on every side.
Mhm. Yep, on every side. I mean, it got to the point in our conversation last night where I was, actually using the metaphor that I let him on a really long leash, and I'm tired of chasing the leash down miles to find out where he is, and he kind of laughed at that metaphor. And then I was at this point this morning going, did I actually say that I have him on a leash?
That's not flattering, is it?
No, it's like, oh, I think maybe it's time to let go or do things differently, I don't know. It's just painful.
Oh, it is. And that's probably the clearest point of the whole thing, isn't it? It's just painful. Because it's not like you're going to be able to say, oh, well, what the heck, go,
right.
call me if something grisly happens. You're going to have to do everything you can to try to make it work and be the best mother that you can be. And that's the point. Seems to me, because conditioning will just run you through a ringer if it has any information at all that you're not doing everything you can do. So it seems to me that it's perfect training for what we're actually learning to do in life, which is to do the very best that you can do in every single moment with no attachment and no illusion of control.
Yeah, exactly. And as you're saying that, what's coming up is what conditioning was doing all immediately after the discussion we had last night and somewhat today was trying to come up with all these sanctions, all of these
mm-hmm.
actually reminds me of what goes on in the political world. Of course, everything reminds me of what goes on in the political world. But, you know, it's like that, you know, we see somebody doing something we don't want, so how can we sanction them to force them to do what we want them to do, you know? And,
yeah.
And it was just, you know, it was just such a heart-closing experience. Like, okay, well, he's not going to get any more allowance, and I'm not going to pay for his car, and I'm not, you know, all of this stuff that it really isn't, it just didn't, you know, it didn't feel good
right
to go there.
Yeah. And it doesn't work. So that that's kind of encouraging. So again, how can you be the best mother you can be there, give the best guidance and encouragement and support, and you know, draw those battle lines where you absolutely have to, and even when it's one of those where you're going to butt heads over something and you're going to be required to your ability, force him to do something that he really doesn't want to do. Can you do that from a place that acknowledges what is really so about that? In other words, you don't want to do it. He doesn't want you to do it. You have the larger picture. You know that you need to do it, that it's your job description, and you're going to do it, but you don't have to have it mean, and then he won't love you, and this is going to ruin your relationship, and you're going to force him into being or doing something that, you know, or if it doesn't go that way, it's proof that, you know, or any of it is that you're to blame for any of it.
Yeah, yeah, that it means anything about either one of us.
Precisely. Yep. It's
just,
these are the job descriptions. He's a teenager. You're a mother. You know, these are the roles that you're playing, and that's all it is.
Yeah, you know, that's really good to hear. That actually kind of flew through my head last night, and that sentence. He's a teenager. This is what he does. Don't get too upset that he's not being a different role, because this is what he is, you know.
That's right.
And it was, I didn't remember that until you said it again, that did kind of fly through last night too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, it's not personal on his part any more than it's personal on yours.
Right.
He's not doing what he's doing. That's, you know, to me, that's the horror of being a parent, to watch these children who have been so much to you. I mean, you know, there was a time when you were his whole world. All he wanted was to be with you and have you take care of him. And now, essentially, he has no use for you. you know, and that's just the way it is. He's in a whole new stage of his life. And, you know, he'll circle back around to probably admiring you and respecting you and being able to acknowledge that he loves you and that sort of thing. But those days of that relationship are over. You know, that's just till they find the edge of the nest and start making their way toward it. And so for us as parents to realize that that's the case, we get to have that period of time to be everything for these little people. And then it really becomes quite a one-way relationship.
Yeah, that is so. That's actually reassuring to hear. Someone else say it is a one-way relationship, and it's just so, for a person who doesn't want to suffer, not getting too attached to those early days is a really helpful thing.
Precisely, knowing that it's gonna come, and I think every parent in the world believes it'll be different for me, for us. Because we have a special relationship and we're so close and we're, I know, it's going to very likely go exactly the same way.
Yeah.
And for me, the thing that people who are doing awareness practice can do with this is, you know, you can have a life of your own. So that when it's time for them to go, they go with a clear conscience. You go with just more time and energy and focus for whatever it is that you're contributing to life.
Yeah, you know, that flew through too last night, and I didn't remember it until you said it just now. It was like, hey, let's look at the bright side of this. You can have your life. And
yeah.
That was actually there, and I didn't even realize. I mean, isn't that funny how those things, those insights can just go and be totally missed?
Well, you know, this is why we record and listen.
Yeah.
Right? Because conditioning doesn't want you to remember those insights. There's no suffering in remembering those insights. So you have an insight, and then it's busy. Conditioning is just busy closing that over and, you know, obscuring that opening so that you go back to the maximum amount of suffering when it starts through, well, you know, it's whatever, and you don't have any idea where he is, and I'm going to blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well. Well, this has just been so helpful, so reassuring. And I'm going to go record now.
That's perfect. Thank you.
I don't want to wait for the downloaded episode, you know, the podcast. I think I'm going to do it right now.
All right. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thank you, Sherry. Good night. Good night. Michael.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air. Could you please introduce yourself?
Muted. Hi, this is Donna from New Jersey.
Hey, Donna.
Hi. Oh, I'm so happy I didn't hang up. Last time I called, I hung up.
Oh. you mean you hung up when we said next person?
Yes, because it's very unexpected and very sudden, and you have no idea that you're
on. Yeah, and so you just panic and hang up the phone.
Yes, that's what I did in December when I called last time. So at least I'm happy I'm still on, though. So that's
it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm getting a terrible echo. Michael, are you hearing it?
Oh.
Yes, I'm hearing a little echo.
Okay. Donna, are you hearing it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. Well, then we'll just listen to ourselves echo. What's going on?
Since Omega and the last guided imagery, I discovered that I'm kind of going through my life as a little six-year-old that, you know, I never just realized that she was there. From all the guided imageries and all the other little kids inside me that I have found, I never found her, I guess, possibly because she's just such a big part of me.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah.
And you're getting to know her?
Yes, doing a lot of recording with the mentor and, you know, really great recordings from that, which have been really good.
And it's a whole different thing, isn't it?
I mean, it is.
She's still there, but you've moved from being her to being available for her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Huge.
Yes, and I'm with my mom a lot, so especially right after I, you know, felt that she was there, it was very hard. It is still very hard to be in her presence, my mom's presence, because when I'm identified with the six-year-old, that's how I'm reacting to my mom.
Uh-huh.
And it still is, you know, difficult to realize that that's happening because my mom isn't doing anything. It's just
it's the
six-year-old that's reacting to her as what she did at that time.
Yes.
So.
Ooh, that is big to see, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Now, is your mom the kind of person who could hear this?
Maybe. I don't know if I would want to, but yeah.
Well, I was just saying, because she must be sensitive to what's going on.
Yes. I mean, she knows there's
bad energy or whatever we want to talk about it as.
Yeah, she does realize, yeah, that something's going on. She may think it's different as stress that's going on in my life rather than that, but, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She knows something's different.
Well, good for her for writing it off as stress rather than taking it personally.
Well, I'm not sure if she may be taking it personally. Probably is.
Uh-huh.
Probably is, yeah.
Well, that might be something to consider. Bringing her in on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a very vulnerable place to be.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a sense? Was there more about that, or can I ask you about something else?
No, that's it. Yeah.
Okay. Do you have so? This is how she treated you when you were sick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a sense that that's how she was treated when she was sick?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I realize that it's kind of has been like the legacy through the generations.
Uh huh.
Of mothers and daughters and yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I realized that she had a hard life too. I mean that
uh-huh.
she did, and I know that's where it's coming from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As an adult, I understand that.
That's right. But that six-year-old.
Yes.
Didn't understand it.
No, not at all. No.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very hard to disidentify from that.
Yes.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because when we are identified like that, the eyes that we're looking through are the eyes of that, in this case, that six-year-old.
Yes.
Yeah, so there's no larger picture with it. That she's just living in that world and having that experience, and so it's all real to her.
Right. Yes. Yes. It's like she's reliving everything that happened, and
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Even though it's not currently going on.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Wow, it's so helpful to see that. It's so painful.
Mm-hmm. So with the recording and listening, then, and getting in touch with her, that would eventually make her feel more comforted.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And eventually what will happen is you won't let her around your mother.
Okay, because that's what I've been telling her, that I'm here to protect her and she doesn't have to be there.
Yep. And then your work, which she'll be probably more forgiving of you about than you will be forgiving of yourself about, of course, is always to make sure somebody at least close to center or close to being a grown-up is there to interact with your mother.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
And if you forget, six-year-old will come in and it'll get very painful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So a lot of gratitude to her,
mm-hmm.
the six-year-old, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's been doing a hard job.
Right. Okay. Well, got some work to do there then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And thank God for recording and listening, huh?
Yes, it's amazing and. I don't know what I would have done without that.
It's
amazing what it's done in the past few months for me.
Mm-hmm.
And especially since the retreat. So
yeah. I try to communicate to people a lot, of course, the power of this work. I don't mean Zen awareness practice in general. It's incredibly powerful. This recording and listening, the power of it to take people from feeling like they're just off on their own, grappling with these overwhelming issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's something that would have taken years to actually integrate. People are able to integrate in a few weeks or a few months.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're really fortunate.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Well, you take good care of yourself, huh?
Yeah. Thank you so much.
You are so very welcome. I'll see you soon. How's that?
Yes. Conditioning has told me I have to go to all the retreats. I'm missing out on everything because I'm not going to another retreat this summer, even though I've already seen you twice in the past month. I'm supposed to go to everything, you know.
Well, you know, a lot of people are being told they can't go to anything, so
okay.
I,
I think this is actually a better direction.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, of course, if you signed up for everything, it would start freaking out and telling you that this is a bad, terrible thing to do.
Yeah. I don't have the money to do it, and even though I did it anyway, I'm like, well, the money will come, and you know, I'll just be charge it and pay for it later, and yeah.
Uh-huh. It's gonna go. Oh, you're on a bad track here, girl.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Take care.
All right, you. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Donna. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to hear from Sangha Market and Stop, Drop, and Breathe, and then we'll be right back.
Hey.
What's this fun living compassion? If you've got a craving for fundraising.
Wait. Stop. Stop. Wait, stop.
We interrupt this regular broadcast to bring you this very important message. Did you know that this year is the 10th annual Golden Gate Bridge Walk? And that this year we have a very exciting plan that reaches far beyond the Bridge Walk to allow everyone in the Sangha to participate, not just those who can make it to the walk? Well, we do. And that is all I can tell you. Our campaign will launch very soon, but to get us started, if you are listening to this message, whether on the live show or the archive, please send an email to africa@livingcompassion.org and simply write the word participation in the subject of your email. You can sign your name or not. It is up to you. I am not authorized to tell you why, but I can tell you there is no public humiliation involved. Thank you for listening to this very important message, and if I were you, I would plan on listening to the show for the next several weeks to stay informed of the action and suspense. This has been a special bulletin. I'm Awareness Junkie Man. Back to you, Michael.
Thank you, Awareness Junkie Man. Thank you for that very important message. And welcome back to Open Air.
These people are out of control.
These people, yes, indeed.
I'm going to do it, though. What was it? Africa@livingcompassion.org.
Yes.
And then all we do is write participation in the subject line.
Yes.
And that's it.
Yeah, and send it in.
How easy is that?
Yeah,
oh,
no public humiliation.
No public. I'm always heartened when there's no public humiliation. But I guess, so listening to the live show, do we qualify, Michael?
I'm sure we do.
Yeah, I think so. Okay, I'm going to send it in. Okay, good. Do we have a caller?
We do indeed. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Mary Jane.
Hey, Mary Jane.
I was in an undisclosed location, but I'm in Palo Alto, but I'm based in San Francisco.
I see.
I seem to get through on the calls when I'm not where I live. I don't know what that means, but
It means you should keep moving around, especially on Tuesdays. Yeah. What's going on, Mary Jane?
Well, I'm calling. I made a commitment at the retreat a couple weeks ago as a follow-up to support my practice to call in, and I've been, you know, doing a lot of practice as I've been waiting on the call. So I was actually not expecting to get on. I was thinking this would just keep going on.
And now you get to write an email to africa@livingcompassion.org.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm
and say participation. So, that was worth the wait. Good.
So, yeah, I guess, so one thing I've been looking at is, my husband and I we're having this conscious conversation about whether we want to try to have a child. And we're kind of in the in-between area. But what I did this morning, so I realized that some piece for me was, wanting that being, you know, who loves you and you love, like that kind of bond that a parent and a child, I think when you mentioned on the earlier call, like when they're young or in elementary school age, that connection. And so this morning I did with What You Practice is What You Have book, the exercise where you envision your life. And so I just saw this image of this child embracing me, like, so wholeheartedly. Kind of being with that and curious a little bit too if there's, I don't know, it's just interesting, this idea of, you know, when you want something and then is it really a process within you that you're trying to heal when you're wanting something in the world?
Oh, wow. That, now, I did not anticipate you're going in that direction. That's a really interesting one. So it, to look at what that motivation is, and as you're saying, wanting that feeling that you're projecting having that child would give. And so in order to know what that is that you want, you have to be going to an experience of that, right? So if I know how it would feel to have my child embrace me like that, then I have to be having that experience. And then what I do is leave that experience and believe that I need something external to give me the experience that I was just having.
Or actually, I meant that the external desire triggered the search inward rather than,
right,
than searching for it outward. Okay.
And I'm suggesting that you have to have that experience. It's like people will say to me often, well, you know, I don't know how to take care of myself because nobody ever took care of me when I was young.
Mm.
Well, if you don't have that experience inside you of what it's like to be taken care of, you won't know that you're not having it.
Mm.
Subtle stuff, huh? So if I didn't know what, if I didn't know how I want to be loved, I wouldn't know I'm not being loved that way.
Okay.
So I'm already having the experience in order to compare what I'm being told I'm not having to that experience so that I can feel the loss of it or the lack of it or that sort of thing. Pretty amazing, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, and of course, that's not an argument for or against anything, but to me, it's just really important for us to get that it's not, we're not going to have an experience that we couldn't be having right now. And I think that and I think that what a great deal of suffering for people comes from this kind of process. So, and we're just using having a child because that's what we're talking about, because it happens with a ton of stuff, everything, as a matter of fact, because it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to have a child so that I will feel unconditional love.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a child, and the child is sick, and I haven't slept for the last four nights, or you know, the child is colicky and I haven't slept for the last 3 months. And I'm not feeling unconditional love. You know, I'm feeling exhausted and burdened and hysterical and like I've made the worst mistake of my life. So It's just, to me, really important for us to get that thing about one process doesn't lead to another.
Yeah. Like, you do this because you want to do that, and you have a deep connection because you want to have a deep connection, and you have a child because you want to have a child, or
that's right.
Your thing, yeah.
That's right. But once we start crossing those wires, the odds of being deeply, deeply disappointed get huge.
Okay.
Because then, if I want to have a child because I want to have a child, okay, well, that means, let's see, X amount of diapers and sleepless nights and screaming and not getting to go where I want or do what I want and, you know, right up through paying for college, very likely. So, yep, that's what I want. You know, that's what I'm signing on for. Like, you know, you get married, right? And, and you know, we're led to believe, you know, the movie ends, right, with the kiss or the, you know. And so if we go, okay, I want to get married. Now, that means, you know, And sometimes I won't actually like this person, and we're going to butt heads over so many things, and we're going to question why. And yep, this person I want to go through that with.
All right. Well, thank you. I think that's a little more than my time, so I appreciate your insights. I'll listen to this soon, or next time I'll record it while I'm listening so I can play it back right away.
Okay, a few things to consider, huh?
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, Mary Jane.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye. Thanks for joining us, Mary Jane. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. And we have another caller, Sherry.
Oh, I want to tell you this thing first before we get to that other caller, Michael.
Okay.
And I don't think I have, but I read this thing that said when you're getting ready to pick out the person that you want to commit to, make sure it's somebody that you are willing to, that you'd be all right being in an air-conditioned room with a couple of screaming children with.
Yep.
I just thought that was such a different, not Cinderella, sort of way of looking at what are the qualities and characteristics of the person that I want to commit my life to.
Anyway,
fun.
Great.
Next
caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry, this is Beth.
Hey, Beth.
I'm feeling very lucky.
Well, good. Just in general, or?
Well, yes, just in general, and also just to get on. You know, it's just
okay, and then specifically to be on tonight. Very good. Well, what's going on in your world?
Okay, well, I've seen a bunch of minor players in the conditioning realm, but I've seen a major one in this last couple of hours.
Oh, my.
A recent
arrival, just revealed, huh?
Yeah, and just in saying that, I can see the difference between having the experience of insight and reporting on it.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, we'd like a report.
Okay, well, fear.
Uh-huh.
I'm afraid of everything, mostly of my own shadow.
Okay, now do you want to say more about that, or shall I offer a rebuttal?
Please.
Okay.
I mean, that's a piece of my conditioning that I believe is real.
Yeah. So what you're getting a chance to do is to have an experience, a conscious experience, of what it feels like when you're identified with egocentric karmic conditioning. Because
again and yet again.
It's that feels fear. It wants you to believe that it's you, but it's not you. So when that's there, you can know that you've been taken over by ego.
Yes. Yeah.
And now it's speaking through you, and what it wants you to believe is that the fear is yours.
And how
it's
pervasive
you.
It is.
I
think it's been in every single heartbeat I've had.
Uh-huh. So, in other words, at least
Well, it's really hard to know. Have you been that identified, or does it just seem that way? Because every time it takes you over, it tells you that it's always like this.
I think I can feel like the trace is going back before the beginning of beginningless time. You know, not that far back, but, you know, it's like a karmic trail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just me.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
and yet, in the moments that you are not identified with
Yes,
ego,
I have had those moments, and it's hard to remember that I have.
Yes, yes. And so it's the, you know, in the new book, it's the light room, dark room.
Yes.
Yeah, when we're in the dark room, everything is dark, it's pitch black, we're fumbling and stumbling around, and it's always been that way. Because in the dark room, there is no experience, not even a memory of light. In the light room...
Well, where the light
room,
switch is.
Yeah, exactly. In the light room, there's only light. There is no darkness.
And it's kind of like there's a joke.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like in seeing this, there's kind of this sense of, oh, my gosh, you know, the enormity, and it's serious.
Uh-huh.
But in the light room, it's a joke.
Yes. There's nothing wrong. It's obvious that there's nothing wrong. There are no problems. There couldn't be any problems. It's not possible. Yeah. Yeah. And then the lights go out again. Person's in the dark room, and it's like, oh, my God, it's always been this way. This is horrible. Suffering is hideous. I'm never going to find my way out. It's hopeless.
I'm going to be homeless in a month.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, it's real. It's serious. I got to, you know, got to get down to the grindstone, you know, kind of really work it. And there's nothing to work.
Uh-huh. And so the fear, so that's the deal? And so that's the
fear
deal.
Fear is my deal, yeah.
Well, and you know, Beth, here's just something for you to consider. This, and I'm hopeful that everybody will consider it, but... You know, if we have two ways of going in life. Now, of course, people hear everything as a judgment because almost everybody's listening through conditioning almost all the time.
I have noticed that.
Yeah, there's no judgment in this whatsoever. There are two ways a person can go in life. They can either be letting their karma go, or they can be reinforcing their karma. Those are the only two ways.
Wow.
So if a person is reinforcing their karma, then they will live out what their karma has been telling them all along will happen to them.
And it's not a pretty picture.
Yeah, because karma is making the choices. So karma is going to make the choices for karma.
In
and
a nicer sense, that's choosing safety.
No.
And choosing to be safe.
No, it's choosing fear.
Ha. Yes. Yes.
So it would present that, just as it did, that your choice would be the opposite. But that is a smokescreen to get people to focus on something other than what's actually going on. So if we take it into another, you know, kind of into another realm, there's a person who has a karma to be destitute.
Yes.
All right? That person is going to be living in a story of, I need to be really careful with money. I need to be smart about it. I need to work really hard. I need to save. I need to be tight. Let's face it. I can't be giving anything away because, you know, and so the whole
I can't go on retreat.
No, can't go on retreat. That costs money. And so the whole focus is ostensibly on having enough money.
Ah, yes.
But the karma that's being played out is of being destitute. And
yes.
That person, if you could step back far enough, you could see that they are on an absolute track to winding up with no money because every decision is about not having enough money.
Again and yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And here in humble submission, and willingness is the key, and again and yet again.
Yeah. So when we start looking at it in that way, when we see through the world of duality, start getting a sense of what's really going on, what karmic conditioning is really afraid of is you being courageous.
Yeah, and that's not a description of me. Yeah, but it is.
Yeah, it's a description of who you are. It's not a description of egocentric karmic conditioning.
The light room is courageous.
That's correct. Yeah, and in a funny kind of way, because in the light room, it doesn't even require courage. What we call courage simply is.
What we call courage simply is.
Yeah. So people are not courageous because they're trying to be courageous or they're doing something.
Right.
Courage just is. If you look out at the world and there are no problems and nothing is wrong, the way you live looks courageous.
Open.
But it doesn't have anything to do with courageous. There's nothing wrong and there are no problems.
There's
so
no
you just
threat.
Go about, you just go about living life, doing whatever you want to do.
And that's the bottom line right there, is I've been living my life from the realm of there is a threat.
Yes, yes.
Internal and external.
Yes, because it hasn't been you living. It's been egocentric karmic conditioning living in your body, calling itself Beth.
Ha. Taking my energy.
Yep.
Taking my place.
Yep. Yep.
Yes.
And
thank you, and
you know,
I love
it,
you.
Yes. You know, it's a funny thing. Everybody can do this with other people. It's hard to do with themselves. And that is that we can tell when somebody is who they are and when they've been taken over by karmic conditioning.
Ah, so much easier than somebody else, yes.
Yeah, it's really easy.
For me, it's skin.
Yeah,
for me,
precisely.
This has been there since I was an infant, so I can't see it.
That's right, even though everybody around you can. Everybody can watch you go in and out of being completely identified. Everybody hit you. Isn't that cruel?
It is. Well, yeah, but it's also through the gift of service. You know, kind of a real strong opportunity to let the light shine.
Yeah. Exactly.
Thank you,
Sherry. So, thank you, my dear.
Again and yet again.
Take care. Good night.
Thank you for joining us, Beth. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Wow.
Big show.
Big show. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
Again?
Next Tuesday?
Sounds good.
All right. Talk to you then.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.